And so we don't want to leave you scarred from this morning's experience here in church. Hey, it's awesome to be here. I know Graham, my husband, has been here before, and he's always loved coming along. But I was lucky enough to be invited to come and speak to you guys this morning, so that's pretty exciting. I find it a huge privilege. So I have been on a bit of a journey over the last year or two, and I'm going to share a bit about that this morning. Before I do, I will just give you a little bit of info on me, like really short and sweet, so you know who you're listening to. Graham's wife, yes, I am. So I've been married to Graham, I think, 16 years, almost 17. We got married as basically babies. He was 18, and I won't say what age I was because I'm hoping you'll think I'm the younger one, but I've given you a clue I'm not. We have five children, and that was not what I imagined when I was about 18, thinking, yeah, I'm going to have five kids. Anyone who had five kids, I was like, what are you thinking? What the heck? Do you not know what birth control is? You know, I was that person. And now I'm the one who has to suck it up with all those comments that I get from people. But that's okay. So we have Ruby, who is with me this morning, and she is beautiful and stunning and the most amazing 12-year-old I know. Very wise for her age, loves God, and proud mummy. Then... also, just let you know, I'm a crier, so as you can see, like, the tears just get in the tear ducts real quick. oh, they're prepared, they have tissues. Then I have a 10-year-old daughter, we do, I should say, and she's called Paris. She's literally just been to Paris and done a UK OE tour. I have not been to those places yet, but my 10-year-old daughter has gone before myself and Graham and gone, and she saved up and paid half of that for herself, and her uncle paid the other half. So she's a very well-travelled little girl now. Then we have Israel. He's 8, and he is sport crazy. He's very good at it. He's just that kid that woke up. Well, he didn't wake up. He was born, and he may as well have had a rugby ball in his arms at the time. He used to get paid by his grandma $5 a try until she was pretty much broke after each rugby game, and we said, let's just call it a day, don't pay him anymore. And then we've got Saskia, she's 6. She's your little choleric, fiery girl, very strong. Don't mess with her. Just don't mess with her. And then we've got Judah, he's 4, and he is the funniest little kid I've ever known. No offense, Ruby, but he is honestly really funny. He's always got all these one-liners, and he just has natural wit. And so I'm looking forward to watching how he develops and grows. Just the other day, I found him... last Sunday morning, we woke up to him with a pottle of Easy Yo yogurt. You know, those we make our own because there's so many of us. I'm not paying the $5 a tub because it will last one day. So we got the Easy Yo. He comes in and he's literally been eating from the tub. There's a nice 6 a.m. wake up call. And it's all over his hands. And I'm like, Judah, what are you doing? He goes, I've just eaten all the yogurt. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And then he comes in with the cat, who has also got yogurt all over his face. And I'm like, Judah. He goes, Coco was hungry. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's a cat. Anyway, then Saskia, the one I talked to you about, the 6-year-old, I hear her out in the kitchen. Judah, you need to say sorry to Coco. And he's like, what? I don't speak cat. And then he goes, meow. And she goes, that's better. So anyway, that's what I mean by our cat. You know, there's never a dull moment. All right, I'm going to pray and then we're going to get into it. God, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for your story. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you, God, that in our trials, in our struggles, that you are our rock. You are our strength. And God, you come to never leave us nor forsake us, but to be with us in those times. Lord, I pray for every person represented here this morning, that God, this morning, you speak to their hearts, that something through my story will encourage them, that something through what you've laid on my heart will give them hope, will give them courage that will just stir them this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, if you've got your Bibles, turn to James 1, 2-6. If you don't, I'm going to read from it. I'm reading from the Message. I like it because to me it's just it's a bit more how I talk. King James, not so much. Here we go. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colours. So don't try and get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. And I love that. And that there is what I held on to when I started a journey of a health one. It was September 2012 now, so actually coming out almost 2 years. And my father-in-law's new wife noticed that I had a lump on my neck. I didn't think too much of it, but she said, look, you should go get it checked out. It looks as though like your thyroid glands are out, and so maybe your thyroid levels are out. So I thought, okay, I'll go along. And I'm sorry, you're videoing, and I'm moving all over the show. Hello to the camera. And so I went along to the doctor, and she sort of fouled around. And she said, okay, well, let's get blood tests. Let's start the journey. It feels a little bit unusual, but, you know, I don't think it's anything to worry about. And then she said, you know, worst case, it would be cancer. And, of course, any time that sentence, you know, that comes into a sentence, you're like, ah. But I didn't think too much of it. So did the blood test. They all came back great. And so I was like, well, that's awesome. And then I went along and had to have a scan. The morning of the scan was the morning we were going on our family holiday, and as I've told you, we've got five children, so we can't travel light. As Sarah has learnt today, who got us from our hotel, we can't travel light. We just have so much stuff. And I left Graham, and I said, honey, you can do it, because he's a real man of faith. But when it comes to packing a car, he really struggles. And I always say, come on, babe. God will be your strength. He will just, yes, just pray in tongues. It will fit in. And so anyway, I left him. Get to the scan. I'm in the scan room, and the lady's scanning my neck. And she's taking a bit of time, and then she's going up further, and I'm like, that's strange. And anyway, I, in my mind, imagined that it was just the chewing gum lodged in my neck, because you know how they say, you know, when you swallow your chewing gum, it stays in your body for 7 years. So I'm like, well, it's obviously just the chewing gum lodged up there, because where does it sit for 7 years? It can't just sit in your bowels or wherever that stuff goes. Okay, you can tell I'm not. Okay, I'm going to keep moving. She's scanning, and then she said, oh, just excuse me for a minute. I need to just check we've got enough photos of this. And I was like, that's strange, because I've had five baby scans, plus more than that, because you have so many. I've never, ever had the radiographer leave the room. So straight away, there's a sense of, okay, this isn't right. This isn't how it goes. And then she finally came back, and it felt like a long time in that room. And she came back with another man, and he was the head guy. And he was looking at the photos, and they were sort of discussing it. But they talk in this language that you have no idea what you're saying. Multiple nodules and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what the heck? You know, multiple bits of chewing gum. And so then I said, look, is everything okay? And he said, look, I'm a man. I can only do one thing at a time. I was like, preach it. At least you know that you cannot do more than one thing at a time. And and then he started to explain to me. He said, look, I like to be honest when I discover something that isn't normal. And the scan is showing that you have very enlarged lymph nodes in your neck and multiple nodules, which can be normal to have nodules, but in your case, these are a lot, and they're also abnormal shapes and things, and it looks like you have a very serious thyroid disease. You either have lymphoma cancer or thyroid cancer. So straight away, like I said, I'm a bit of a crier. The tears like just start dripping, because I'm like, oh, that's not what I expected. You know, the blood test was fine. This is just out of the blue. And then as I'm crying, he starts rubbing my leg. I'm like, that is really uncomfortable, you know. What is he doing? But in a way, I'm like, that's kind of good. It's like it broke the enormity of it almost, like this weird guy rubbing my leg. I was like, whoa, okay. And then it was straight away, it's like, okay, well, what's the story? What's your survival? Like, any questions? I'm like, the first thing I'm thinking, most people think, is when you hear you've got potentially some type of cancer, is like, what is the survival rate of this? What's my chances? And he said, you know what, with thyroid cancer, there's a really good survival rate. And if it is that particular type, then you know, it should be pretty good for you. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to hold on to that. That'll be the one I'll have. If I have to choose a cancer, I'll choose that one. And then they sent me out, and I then had to go have an x-ray because they needed to see if it spread further in my body. So I was sitting in the waiting room, and meanwhile I'm thinking, Graham is like probably thinking I've skipped off to the warehouse because I have taken ages right now. So I text him and I'm like, hey babe, it's not looking good. They actually think I've got a type of cancer. And you know, that just saying that, it was like, what? Like cancer? That's, I never imagined that. Just like I never imagined 5 children, I never imagined I'll have the cancer next to my name type thing. So I quickly had that next x-ray, and that showed things were actually not too bad. There was just one little nodule, and it wasn't as bad as what they thought it could be. As I walked down that hallway of the hospital, I literally instantly heard God's voice. And like he'd said to me in a couple of weeks before that in church when I was praying about it, he said, I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you in this journey. He then spoke to me in the hallway of that hospital. I can still visualize the corridor, and he said, I'm going to show you what I'm going to heal you of. And I remember thinking, okay, so you've got something to heal me of. Like, obviously there's something there. But it was like, you know, when you hear God's voice, you just go, okay. He brings something when you hear him for yourself, that you go, okay, I can do this. As I drove home, I just thought of people that don't have God in their lives, and I thought, I don't know how people do this without him, because I can hold on to him as a rock, I can hold on to what he's saying to me, and I can feel that even when it gets rocky, he's going to be my foundation. I got home and Gray was in the driveway waiting, and we hugged, and he's like, we shouldn't go on holiday. I said, yes, we will be. We will be going, because I'm not going to let whatever this is hold me back. And it was like straight away, God put within me a fight. It's like, no, you're not going to let this affect your life. You're not going to stand still. You're actually going to dig in and you're going to keep going. So the kids had no idea. We carried on shoving the stuff in the car. We got in. The doctor was ringing me on our way on holiday. She's like, you need to come in. I said, oh no, we're on holiday. I'll have to make a time to see you when we get back. And she was a little bit like, okay, that's strange. But I was just like, you know what? Like, I can't change what my diagnosis is. So why? I'm not going to sit at home and feel like terrible at home. I'm going to go away and God can be with me wherever I am. So we went on this holiday. I'm not going to say it wasn't on my mind, but I certainly wasn't going to let it affect that holiday. So the time we went, I had to go through like biopsies and CT scans to just like find out for sure what it was. And the day came, I had to go back to the specialist, and she said, yeah, we need to let you know you have actually got a very advanced case of thyroid cancer. And so you're going to have surgery. She said, because of how advanced yours is, I need to get the best surgeon in Christchurch to do it for you, because yours is sort of weaving through vocal cords and different things, and it is going to be quite a delicate procedure. So I was like, okay. So 2 weeks later, I'm down in Christchurch getting ready for surgery. So it was a pretty quick turnaround from diagnosis to surgery. But once again, even though there were like apprehensions and things about it, God was with me, and God just gave me this peace that I was like, yeah, it's going to be okay. A few days before that surgery, though, I was like just praying to God, and I felt him say to me, you know, it's actually going to be different than you imagine. You're really going to need my strength like you've never needed before. But through this journey, God's going to use it to encourage other people. God's going to use it. I'm going to use it to bring people to me. Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. It doesn't really make sense, because I'm just having an operation and people do that all the time. But it made more sense as I awoke from surgery, which was meant to be a 3-hour surgery, turned out to be a 9-hour surgery. Wow. I awoke with like 6 of the hospital staff just staring over me like I was in some ER program. And they said to me, your surgery didn't go as we expected. You've had to have a tracheostomy inserted into your throat. Both your laryngeal nerves were damaged, which are your nerves that you need to speak. You can't speak. We're not sure if you will get your voice back. We're hopeful that you will. One of your nerves is completely paralyzed. We know that one will never recover, but we're hopeful the other one will. Good, just the news I wanted. I thought, oh my gosh, you're right, God, this is totally not what I expected. Then my next thing was, they're like, any questions? And I'm just like, where is my husband? Like, when you wake, you know those programs, you're always like, the husband is always there? He wasn't there. Yeah, no, he wasn't. But it wasn't his fault. They actually told him to go home for the night and not come back. And he's like, no, I want to see my wife. So he came back, and it was like when he came in the door, I'm like, what the heck is going on? I couldn't say that. I had to write it, of course, on a piece of paper, which was a very unusual experience. Just all of a sudden, something you take for granted, that voice, taken in one moment. And it was very strange because you would naturally go to talk, but it was, there was literally nothing that came out. But after one night in the ICU, I went into another ward and my journey began of now fighting my next part of that journey. And it was not an easy journey. The first 4 or 5 days in hospital, I couldn't hold anything down. I was vomiting constantly. The trachea, I had this massive thing over me, like I couldn't breathe properly. I had to have nasal gastric tube thingies up my nose. I had tubes all up my arms. I was a real state. The nurse after day 4 came in and she said, "What is going on? You're still vomiting. We got to sort this." And I was like, "Yes, please." I'd been having like crazy dreams because I was on so much morphine. I couldn't sleep. It was just like this reoccurring nightmare of Graham letting the kids do all this arts and crafts. This is the funniest nightmare. Arts and crafts constantly. And every time I'd come back and tidy it up and then I'd have the dream again of the mess. I'm like, and I'm quite a neat freak. And so for me, I was like, this is terrible. Could have way worse nightmares, but that for me was a nightmare. excuse me. I'll have water. So, not being able to eat or drink anything was quite a different experience. I also had, like, my saliva, whatever the part in your throat that causes you to swallow your saliva properly wasn't working. So I had to have a sucky machine because otherwise saliva just dripped all down my face. So between the trachea, the saliva, the nasal gastric, I was a picture of pretty, I tell you, not at all. And the funny thing was I'd gone in thinking, I'm going to do this hospital thing kind of cool. I've got cute little jammy pants, I'm going to like have my hair straight and I'll put like cubic zirconias in my ears and I'm just going to look like awesome. None of that happened. I looked atrocious and I will show you some photos soon. And I'm going to be pretty vulnerable because, to be honest, they're not your Facebook profile pictures. By far, this is definitely the biggest trial I have faced in my life. I thought childbirth was horrendous, but this was by far just the most very challenging, hard journey that I've ever had to face. You know, with God, and only with God, was I able to have a strength like I've never known. And I couldn't sing worship because obviously I had no voice, but I had worship going constantly. Matt Redman, I don't know if it had just come out, but for me it was a new song, and it was 10,000 Reasons. I don't know if any of you heard that song, but I just played that and played that and played that. It was constantly playing. It was playing so much that one of the nurses I heard one night humming the tune, and I remember thinking, oh, that's pretty cool because, you know, in this moment for me where that song was drawing strength, that God was also using it for other people. I also had this moment one night where, because Graham had to go, like he couldn't be in the hospital the whole time, but I used to find the nights really hard. It's just really lonely and it's very uncomfortable, vomiting and different things. And one night I just grabbed this nurse's arm when she came in and couldn't talk and I couldn't find my pen and paper. And I just grabbed her and I just signaled, just pray for me, pray for me. And I didn't know if she was a Christian at all, but in that moment, she just rubbed my back like a mum would do and just comforted me. And I knew that even if she didn't have faith, God used her in that moment. And I love that no matter what we're going through, God can use people around our lives to come and bring comfort. And I love that God's, you know, when he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, he won't. It doesn't mean you won't find it hard as you contend to fight your struggles or contend with whatever you're facing, but he can bring people around you who can bring that comfort. Gray said to me, he said, yeah, amen, right? Gray said to me, have you ever asked God, why you? You know, why did this happen to you? And I said, no, I've actually never really felt why me. It was very bizarre. It was like God gave me this feeling that I was chosen for this journey. And it's a strange thing to say because I wouldn't naturally put my hand up for it and go, come on, pick me. I'd love to struggle with that. I'd love to lose my voice and have the most horrendous time in hospital. But I knew he chose me because it was going to be part of my journey, part of my character building, part of something that he was going to bring a fight up in me, part of helping other people in their journeys. And I was like, yeah, come on, okay, bring it on. I'll face this. If it's going to make me a better person, it's going to develop me into the person you created me to be, then I'll take it. And I think that's what it's like for people in our journeys. We shouldn't ask why. We should go, what, God? What is this about? What am I going to learn from this? And what can I take out of it? What can I grow? What can I help others about this journey that I've faced? Stop asking the why and ask the what. You know, it made me so expectant that even though this intense trial for me was, it was intense, I'm not going to pretend that it wasn't, that I was like, he's got a greater purpose for me. He's not going to leave me and forsake me. He's going to, like he said, I'm going to show you what I'm going to heal you of. So for almost, it was 8 days, and they would try different things to try and help potentially see if my voice would work. They put little different covers on my tracheostomy, which is a big chunky plastic thing sticking out your neck. I've got a photo I'll show you in a minute. They keep trying. I keep being expecting, like, yes, it's going to be this time, and then nothing. And they'd do little tests with food colouring to see if, like, my saliva thing was going to work. And no, that wasn't. But each time, I was still expecting. I'm like, oh, come on, God's going to come through soon because he has said to me, I'm going to show you what I'm going to heal you of. And then, like it says in James, consider it a gift. I've got to be honest, sometimes it is hard to consider it a gift that I was facing this trial. And for you, whatever you're facing, or maybe whatever you're facing just around the corner, or maybe you've just come out of something you've faced, it's hard to really look at it and go, thank you, God, this is like the best gift ever. Like, similar to perfume or aftershave, it's just like awesome. No, but remember what he says in James, consider it a gift, because this is something you are contending for a reason, because actually God's got something greater for you. So look at it differently. Like I said, don't say why me, rather think, what is this trial all about? What is actually going to be out the other side of this trial? For me, it totally brought a new faith, it brought a new courage, it brought a changed forever life. You know, I've got scars that remind me daily of the journey I had, and I've got a voice that is back, praise God, but not back to its same strength. There's a tightness in my neck that I feel all the time that is weird. It's like someone's always got their hand around your neck. But you adapt, and sometimes our scars remind us of where we've come, and it reminds us of also where we're going and also what God's done. You know, sometimes we try and cover the stuff up. But it's okay to say, you know, I've got scars, you know, I've had a journey, but God's taken me on it. I walked into the hospital, that have a lounge type thing, and I walked in there one night when I could actually walk and get out of my bed. And can I borrow a tissue? Thanks. I don't want to sniff down the mic. It's not nice on the ears, is it? And I walked down, and I just wanted a change of environment. And there was TV on, and I'm not a big TV watcher, but I just remember something in my spirit just jumping, and it was like, I kind of felt like, and you will laugh, I felt like this coloured gospel woman. And obviously I'm as white as you get, and I don't really reflect like a gospel girl at all. I'm totally moving for the camera. I'm just making your job challenging. And I just remember thinking, God, I so desire, because it was The Voice. Do you remember that program, The Voice? So it's about singing voices, which, of course, I didn't believe I had a singing voice. But I'd always felt that God had said to me, I've got a voice for you, and I want you to share a message. And that's when something in my spirit just jumped, because I'm like, okay, God, you've still got that desire in there for me, but you've probably forgotten there's a major key point here. I cannot speak. So you might want to do something about that. Nudge, nudge. It's ready. I'm ready. I'm ready for my voice back. But no, he has a sense of humour. I had to use a whiteboard that night to make a very long conversation with one of the nurses that I felt he said to me on his heart to tell her that I love you, I care about you, and I have a plan for your life. Like, how do you just kind of roll into that on a whiteboard casually? By the way, God says, I love you. You can't do the accents on whiteboards either, unless I literally wrote at the top, this is American accent. Anyhow, so a long story short, through various conversations on the whiteboard, I was able to tell this nurse, you know, I actually felt, I believe in God, and I felt like God said this to you, and I shared it. And she was like, okay, cool, you know, a bit awkward for her too. But then she said, yeah, I do believe in God, but I really struggle when I hear, you know, see people like you who are so young, you're so sick, you're fighting for this, it doesn't seem fair. And we've all thought that, I think, when it comes to our things or we see people face stuff and we think, God, it doesn't really seem fair that that person is facing that and now they've got another thing. But I was able to say to her, oh, yeah, I know what you mean, but I feel like God allows some of these stuff for us to build our character, to make us a stronger person, to also make us become more thankful for the little things and more, and get our perspective in the right place. And she's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And all that on a little whiteboard. You know, I just love how God can still use us right in the middle of whatever we're facing. Never think that even in the middle of whatever you're facing, you're not being used by God. Sometimes it just isn't how you imagine you'll be used. So, just like I'd realised it was a gift, as it says in James, I was also growing in him. Think where you can grow with what you're contending at the moment. You can get, like I said, that greater courage, showing also that you can conquer. You can look back and it's almost like, wow, did I go through that? And I've got Brandon. It is Brandon, eh? Got it right. I'm thinking Beverly Hills 90210 for anyone who was born in that era. And if you're under the age of my age, you won't have a clue what that is. So I'm just start with the first one. So I've just got a couple photos now. This is my no makeup selfie. It's not even a selfie. And I don't do no makeup. I'm like pretty much always in makeup. So that's my first one. But then there's the next photo. Just beware if you don't like. Okay, just have a look. And then you can close your eyes if you want. Okay, so this is me on like day 3 or 4. So that's with my trachea and my special thing, the tube. Quite a swollen face. Don't normally look that bad without makeup. And then see the pink thing? That was my potentially cool, trendy. Not cool at all. It looks terrible. But I thought it would keep my hair on my face when I was doing my makeup and stuff in hospital. Anyway, in the end, it was keeping the vomit out of my hair. So it did come in handy. Then we got the next photo. That's my spew bucket on the bed there. And then we got the next photo. This is me. I was actually able to stand. It was about day 5. That's Graham, my husband. And that's all my contraptions. That if I ever walked anywhere, I had to like take that to the toilet with me. So, yeah, that's good. Next photo. Okay, excuse the stomach. That is when I had my feeding peg. I had to have a peg put in my stomach. And then that's my trachea. And that's, yeah, that was, I was not feeling too flash that day. But the swelling had gone down, so that was a bonus. Next photo. This is what my room was like every morning at 8 o'clock. This is how many people would come in. Like, you know, you think about Philomene. I'm like, fill a hospital room with all the people. But they became my friends. This guy, Matt, with the moustache, it was Movember. So I used to have a good giggle every day at that moustache. But that was my surgeon on the right. And it was like, I naturally had a real love in a good love way, because it was like, he actually saved my life, that guy. So I have huge appreciation for him. Next photo. And this is me when I was allowed out the doors of hospital and I found a pink little nifty 50. And I'm like, there was still a bit of fun in me. I'm like, I'm going to have fun on this journey. So here I was. I just jumped on there and go, get a picture. And yeah, and then I jumped off again before the owner came along. And I don't know if there's any more photos or not. No more. So that was it. So that was just a little bit of what I looked like back then. And but it's cool because I can look back and just like you can look back and go, whoa, did I actually go through that? And I love that about God, because we can look back and in the middle of it, we're like, when is this going to end? But we can look back and go, whoa, I faced that, I conquered that, and here I am on the other side. And I know God wants to encourage you guys that it's the same for you. You might be at the start, you might be in the middle, you might have just come out the other side, but God will be there with you. He won't leave you. He'll give you the strength. Yeah. Call on his name, though, because it's very easy to do it on your own and forget to ask God to be in the journey with you. Get in that boat with you. You know what I mean? Like, he can be out of the boat and just there, and you know he's there, but you've got to ask him into the boat and the journey with you. I was thankful in this journey for complete strangers that will do amazing things for me. I was thankful for my church family who prayed for me, for my extended churches who prayed for me, for so many people that out of the kindness of their heart would bring meals, clean our house, like just do stuff. And, you know, in the middle of stuff, God still finds reasons for you to be thankful. And by day 16, I was so grateful to get out of the doors of that hospital. I literally begged them, can I just go now? And they're like, you're not really ready. I'm like, I just want to go home to my babies. And so I finally got to fly home, and that was pretty, it was full on. I literally had been inside hospital for 16 days, and I felt so vulnerable and just like I needed to be in a bubble. But it was good to get home. It was good to lose my gastric tube out my nose. It was much easier to do makeup because I didn't have to go around a tube. And I just once again had to keep choosing. I will choose to focus on the positive. I will choose to focus on that word of God that he gave me, that I am going to heal you of this. I remember even being grateful to be able to smell again, because I couldn't, when I had a tube up my nose, I lost all my sense of smell. It was really bizarre. And I was like, oh my gosh, I hope my hospital room doesn't smell. I have no idea if it does. Anyway, they never said anything. I just sprayed Lynx. It wasn't Lynx. Gosh, I'm not a guy. Whatever I had, perfume. When I was coming home, I literally had got a small amount of voice back. And it was so small. It was tiny, eh, Ruby? It was like a tiny little, hey guys, like that. And it would be really hard to talk, and it was really painful. And then I would literally be like breathing, and I was coughing all the time, and it was just full on. But the kids, I'm home, mum's home, so they're like, mum's back, yep, back to normal, which was pretty tricky, because although I was back, I was far from back to normal. Things continued to carry on, and slowly but surely they improved. Although with my constant coughing, things carried on being a bit challenging. I actually cracked a couple of ribs there as well, because there was so much coughing that they cracked. And then amongst the journey, when I thought I've seen enough of the hospital walls, our son Judah was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. So you're on this journey thinking, I'm getting to the end, surely the end is coming near. And it's like you get in the middle and then something else, bang, there's something else. But still, I was like, nah, God's got it sorted. This is okay. The enemy's not going to hold me back. He's not going to hold our family back. We're going to keep fighting this because he has told me. And I think that's one thing with our journeys. Hold on to what God tells you, but take the time to ask him as well. God, what am I learning here? What are you going to do with this? And just 8.5 weeks after my surgery, I was told that I could eat and drink fluids again. So I celebrated with a cheeseburger. It was the best cheeseburger I've ever eaten. Healthy, not. But I was like, I don't care, I'm so hungry, give it to me. I think I literally just about like breathed it down in 1 second. And then that night I just stood in the pantry and just ate. It was torture, it was over Christmas, New Year's. So Christmas Day, you know how Christmas Day is about family and food? It was a lot about family for me that year. But it was awesome. I actually realised that was an amazing Christmas. I was like, man, this is awesome, because actually it's about being around my family. It was about the fact that I was still there to celebrate Christmas with my family. I found, and I think I still need to do it, I've probably got out of the practices, writing down the prayers you pray and looking back at how God was actually answering those for me in my journey. And for you, if you're still going through and you're like, oh, I really don't feel like God's answering it, perhaps start writing down what you're praying, because you will find that actually, oh, he has answered that or that part or whatever. January 31st came and my feeding tube was removed, which was awesome, except it was the most, I thought they'd like numb it or something. They literally just put their hand on your stomach and rip it out. And I was like, oh, once again, another painful experience. Glad I don't have to do that again. But, you know, on the opposite side, I was like, praise God, it's gone. So do you know what I mean? There's always a silver lining. Bit of pain, got to be thankful. Next thing, find the silver lining wherever it is. It might be small, but keep finding it, because I think it's that keeps you going. I also think it's good that God doesn't tell us at the start the journey that perhaps we're going to take. Because if God had told me all of these things, I probably just wouldn't ever have turned up for that surgery in November. Of course, I needed to because it was either a live or not live scenario. But do you know what I mean? If we did know at the beginning of our journey, sometimes we may never start walking on the journey. He's a wise person when you think about it. It didn't just finish with surgery, I wish it did, and it didn't just finish with getting rid of the trachea and getting rid of the feeding tube. I then had to go through a round of radiation. And that was in an isolation room. So for somebody who's quite social and likes being around people, that was kind of quite a hard time. So I had to go into a room where no nurses could come in, no one could be in there, you just had like a phone to communicate and a little screen. And so I had 3 days of that. And unfortunately, most people don't, but I got really nauseous and sick. And so for 3 days, I was once again vomiting, but no one could help, no one could pat my little back like last time, and I just had to tough it out. But you know, God, again, there in the midst of it, there with me, and you know, I didn't love it, but he was there. And once again, I came out of that, came out the other side, and I'm here today because of that. You know, we're often there's often a sacrifice when it comes to the journey. There's often something that God asks you to do. Maybe you have to leave behind friends. Maybe you have to leave a job. Maybe you even have to, you know, there might be family members that it sounds horrible, but you may have to cut ties with because they're not healthy for you. Do you know what I mean? God asks us of sometimes in our journeys to sacrifice. Like a small thing for me, tiny really, was to continue healing. I knew that I needed to change the way I ate. Like I lost my thyroid gland, which totally runs a whole lot of part of your body, but with that means you don't process foods properly. So I did go on a journey for the right types of food now for my body, and also because there's lots of types of food that when you've got cancer in your body are not good for you. So a small sacrifice, but it can feel big when it's your food, it's your everyday. You're like, I just want a piece of that white dodgy bread, but you know it's not good for you. And it's like God does that with us on our journey. Some stuff isn't good for us anymore, and it's not easy, but actually if we remove it, like I remove that food from my body, it helps with the process. You know, it helped with my healing. They thought I was going to have another round of radiation, but with a whole lot of removal of food and different things, when I went to my appointment to see if it was another round of radiation, instead they said, you're in remission. And I can only thank God for that incredible answer to prayer, that, you know, almost within a year of that intense journey, God had already healed almost 100% of my body. Now, my voice is not completely back, but I've got a voice, and I'm so thankful for that. And, you know, the kids are probably really thankful because I can't shout at them very loud anymore. So they're thanking God as well. Graham is, because I can no longer shout. No. Israel's disappointed because when I go to shout on the rugby field, it's like the lamest shout you've ever heard. But that's okay. You know, in our journey, we can choose to accept it or we can choose to fight it. In my case, I chose to fight it. And I encourage you, for maybe whatever you're facing, choose to fight it. Don't accept it. Don't accept maybe a doctor's diagnosis over your life. Just like our son, he's diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. Apparently, you know, they're going to have that. He'll have that for the rest of his life. Well, we're not going to accept that. And we pray for him every day, all the time, constantly. And we're going to believe for a God miracle because we know God can do it. Now, at the moment, it's still that. We're still waiting. But I know our God can do it. And I want to encourage you, fight. Get your boxing gloves on and fight whatever you're contending at the moment. Don't settle, don't accept it, but fight it. And I believe today God wants to place a courage within you to get up and fight. And it doesn't matter what size stature you have, little, big, giant, you, God, can place a huge capacity within you to fight it. And don't fight it alone. Fight it with him. He's there for you. Today, maybe you're contending in a financial area. It feels like you're forever just scraping by. And like, come on, God. You say you're a God of just overflow. You say you're a God where you want things to multiply. Well, come on, I want to see it in my life. Well, ask for that. funnily enough, I'd just been asking God for that in the year that I got unwell. I was like, come on, God, we are so faithful. We give in those offerings. We give over and above way more than we can, you know, than on paper we should be able to afford. And you don't leave us without, but, you know, it would be nice to be able to just not think about every little cent. And in the midst of my absolute yuck, God was blessing us financially. So once again, silver lining, you know, like, but I encourage you, don't just accept it, keep fighting. Your marriage, a marriage is one of those things that can be an amazing in 1 year, and then the next year you face some turmoil and you actually have to fight for it. You know, I've had times in our marriage that I'm like, I hate your guts. But I've got to communicate that. Probably doesn't want to hear that, actually. But, you know, you've got to, there's reasons why you get into places. You've got to fight for your marriage. You've got to fight for your family. Family, there's stuff amongst it, whether it's your own kids or your brothers and sisters. Fight for your family. Don't just accept it. Keep trying. Keep going to it and trying to sort your health. Fight for your health. You've got one body. You've got one life. Don't abuse it. Look at what you're doing to your body and try and eat better. Try and treat it well. It's the temple, you know, it's God's temple. He's given you this body. I'm not saying being a gym Nazi because I literally don't go to the gym, although Graham just joined me up. I'm not sure what he's saying. I just said join me up for 1 month. Let's see if I turn up. If there's coffee there, I'll probably be there. Anyway, I run around after the kids all day. I don't need to go to the gym. But I suppose, anyway, okay. Fight for your mind. It's our mind sometimes that we fight with the most. I know for me, it's like, I loved this message over the weekend, and I can't even remember who it was. I think it was Jensen Franklin, talked about we're a stick. We're all just sticks. Talked about Moses, how he picked up a stick and he was in the desert. And we're all just that stick. And God just wants to use us, whoever we are. It's very easy to compare yourself to being, you're not that particular person, you're not that person, you're not whatever, and I can do that all the time, but it's just like, well, God chose me for who I am, and I'm going to be me. I'm not going to try and be somebody else. And I think for you guys, fight for being yourself. Fight your mind, whatever your mind's trying to tell you. Yeah, you go to the worship team when they come in. And that's awesome, because I was just about to ask them up. Great. And fight for that. Fight in your workplace, maybe contending with stuff in your workplace. It's very hard when you have people in a workplace that are hard to work with, but you've got to be there because you need your income. But keep bringing God into that workplace, and you be the bigger person. All of these things are so hard, and they put pressure on us. And when pressure comes on, the natural response is you want to flee. You don't want that pressure. And I know I'm not alone in facing stuff and contending with hard things. And like I said, whether you're right in the middle of it now or maybe it's just around the corner, for me, having the perspective of what is this for? What can I learn from this and how can I grow from this can help the situation. These things are God's way of bringing new growth, new strength, new capacity, new faith, and even new friendships. That sounds crazy, but God will always bring it for good. These things are just sometimes God's way of getting our attention. If we think of all the struggles and fights we've faced in our lives, they're the things we grow the most in, right? It's in the awesome times that we're loving it, and we need that balance of hard, awesome, hard, awesome, because otherwise life would be pretty darn hard. But I know it's the times we fight that we actually grow the most. Because it's like what I said, going to the gym. When you're fighting, you're building up muscles. When you're fighting for your life, whatever you're contending for, God's building something in you. Today, I just believe that God doesn't want us just to roll over and play dead. God wants you, all of you, to fight. Not to accept, not to settle, because the enemy would have you settle. And I had, after being told I was in remission, it was a weird scenario for me now. I wasn't fighting anymore as such, but I was like, I'm healed, which I was rejoicing in. But then I'm like, okay, God, where to now? And there was almost a bit of a settle. But it's like God said, come on, keep going, keep going, keep going. And I think God this morning wants to say, come on, get up and fight. Don't be sitting down. Oh, hello. Has it gone? Oh, there it is. Is it when you turn this? Oh, no. Works. Don't sit down and settle. Get up. And this morning, I feel like God's saying, come on, get up. You might be weary. You might be tired. But get back up. Put on those fighting gloves. Get ready to fight. Get ready to not accept it. And get ready for God to do a defining moment in your life. If that's you, then in a minute, I'm going to have a moment to respond. But also, I just want to take this time for maybe you don't have Jesus in your heart. Maybe you have been to church, but you've never asked him in before. Maybe you're like, well, is he actually that real? I can tell you definitely he is. And it's sort of like one of those things, sometimes you have to taste and see that the Lord is real. It's like trying to describe what does a banana taste like. It's kind of tricky. It's like, well, I don't know. Like, the texture's weird, but, you know, God is real. God is for you, not against you. God is a God of grace. You don't have to do, because God has done that at the cross, because he's a God of grace. And, you know, he comes in and he takes whatever mess you have and he just wraps his arm around you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, you know, if that's you this morning, you're just like, you feel your heart pumping and you're like, actually, I'm not right with God. I've walked away from him, or I've never actually asked him into your heart. Maybe you're considering it. And you want to have that hope and you want to have that courage that I've talked about this morning. You want to have that fulfillment. You know, there's a real gap in your life when you haven't got God in it. Maybe that gap is there for you. And just in this moment, if that's you, I'm just going to count to three. And if you want to ask Jesus into your heart, then on the count of three, I just ask you to lift your hand. Thank you, Lord. God, one, two, nobody's looking but me, three. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, we just thank you for the people in this place, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Now, for others of you that I believe God wants to instill that courage, that instill that fight, instill that passion, instill that faith. If that's you this morning, then this is the worship team are playing. And we're going to sing a song. And what one is it? Forever. Good. Yes, I love that song. Just if you're wanting to, I'd love to pray over you generally. If you're wanting that courage, that faith, that fight back for your situation, then I just encourage you to stand right now and I'd love to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Just as the worship team build it up. Thank you, God. I just pray right now for people to have the courage to stand if they're contending. Thank you, Lord, for the ones standing right now. Thank you, God. Don't let people hold back this morning. God, your anointing is here, Lord, not just to help with the fight, but to heal people, Lord Jesus. I pray for broken lives, Lord Jesus, that need your restoration. That, God, you come in this place, oh God, that you bring your healing power. God, flood this place. Holy Spirit, touch these people right now. God, within them, I pray you place a fight like never before. God, you make them soldiers. You make them warriors, oh God, to fight the fight, Lord Jesus. Whatever they're contending right now, Lord Jesus, that you will come in. You will turn that situation around, Lord God. Holy Spirit, I just pray every marriage, every workplace, every health situation, every family, God, that's represented, every friendship, Lord Jesus. God, right now, every financial that you come in and you just turn it around, Lord Jesus. God, you give them wisdom for what they should do in that situation. God, they draw on you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Right now, just do your work, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are alive in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, your infusion in this place this morning, your supernatural strength, Lord Jesus. Give them your fight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. All right, the rest of you just want to stand up and just worship your God and be thankful for what he's doing in your life. Thankful. We just turn it around to thankfulness, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
As you worship, just fight it. Fight for his will to come over your life.